Treasurer Joe Hockey, we're about to talk about a whole range of other matters, but you're sitting there as I took the call from Sam shaking your head. We have a major problem in the country with ice, a major problem in rural and city areas. It's never been as it is now.
Oh, it's terrible, Ray. I know the Prime Minister's made a number of announcements about it, ways that we can try and help deal with it. But, you know, I was in northern Tasmania, and that was on Friday lunchtime, and I'm wondering why all these kids are in the mall, and some of them are just off their dials, and I just got angry about it.
In a rural part of Tasmania?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just... you know, it's a combination of factors, but it is a scourge. And you can easily see how it's linked to that horrific event.
Well,
Russian roulette with a gun.
The most plausible explanation, I guess, that drugs were involved. But you see, what they tell me, the coppers tell me it's readily available, and it's a lot cheaper than other drugs.
And
people don't necessarily have to work to buy it. There are outlaw motorcycle gangs moving into rural parts of Australia that they haven't been into before, and it's their currency. It's how they make money, which is really scary.
And it's a major threat in Indigenous communities as well now.
Obviously. Okay, back to what we were to talk about. And normally Scott Morrison would be here, but he stood aside for Joe, and I appreciate that. He'll be tomorrow with us, the Minister, Scott Morrison. Now, I know you don't take much notice of the polls, particularly when they're crook. But this morning there must be a smile on the face of the Treasurer, the Prime Minister, and those in Cabinet.
Well, you know what I'm happy about?
What?
Is when people come up to me in the streets and say they're going to go out and have a go. That's what lifts my spirits when everywhere I go, people are saying, yep, they're going to go and buy that bit of equipment for their business. A tradie came up to me yesterday and said he's going to buy a new toolkit he's been holding off. He's a plumber and he needed some new tools. These are the things that people can do now, because not only are we giving them a tax cut, but we're giving them the ability to write off against their tax on the 1st of July anything they buy up to $20,000 that helps with their business. That's great.
It's funny. I just looking at some commercials I'll do later for 4BC in Brisbane for one of our sponsors, free plug for them, Spitwater, and it's the Joe Hockey commercial. Spitwater is a device under high pressure, petrol, diesel, electric, where, you know, used by brickies, used by people in the building industry, graffiti. And they've said unashamedly in their ad that I just looked at before, go out and buy one now because it's tax deductible until 2017 thanks to Joe Hockey. So that's the sort of thing that's going to happen, I suspect.
Well, that's what we need, Ray. I mean, we need that as an adrenaline shot into the arm of small business, and small business is going to be the big driver of the future of the Australian economy. Every big business starts as a small business. They're the big innovators. They're disrupting a lot of big businesses that are slow off the mark. I'm very positive about Australia's future, and small business is the engine room of the economy.
I watched you with Carl this morning on the Today program, and he, like everyone else, was trying to push you on a double dissolution and going to the polls. The one thing that wasn't raised, and this will be frustrating, the last time you did the budget before this one, and you've changed tack this time, you couldn't get it through the upper house. Based on what the Labor Party has said so far, based on what the crossbenchers are saying so far, you're going to really struggle. You can send Scott Morrison into bat, you can go into bat, anyone else can go into bat, you can talk to Clive, you can have Chinese food with him, you can do what you like. He's only one vote in the Senate this time.
Yeah.
But what happens if, you know, the responsible budget that tries to trim things without being too tough gets to the, you know, the hurdle, the Senate, and they knock it on the head? I mean, it has to be a game changer.
Well, certainly there's a lot of pressure now on Bill Shorten, and rightly so, because he's now come up with $59 billion of big spends, and he hasn't said how he's going to pay for them. And so he's even opposing his own savings, his own previous budget cuts, which is kind of bizarre. So I think the pressure's now on Bill Shorten to start being cooperative and helping us to address part of the mess that he left. Importantly, we're continuing to roll out our plan. I mean, our small business plan is going through, right? There's no debate about that now. It's our cuts going through.
But surely the whole deal is predicated on the whole deal.
In families it is.
In piecemeal, if they don't give you the savings you want in some areas, it would be irresponsible of the government to go ahead and spend in another area if the Senate doesn't give you the money with which to do it.
Well, there are some things we're just not proceeding with, like the paid parental leave scheme that we took to the last election, and therefore that helps us to save some spending, which is going to small business. So there's an offset there already. But having said that, there's still a lot that is going to the Senate that is going to require some common sense. Now, Christine Milne was a very difficult person to deal with previously.
Why?
Well, she wouldn't return our phone calls as a starting point. It's hard to deal with.
That's not a good start.
No, it isn't a good start.
If they're not returning your calls, Joe, you give up.
Well,
whether it's Christine Milne or a girlfriend when you're 20.
Well, we're not going there. But in the case of Christine Milne, she was very difficult to deal with. I'm hopeful that the new Greens leader, Senator Di Natale, is going to be far more sensible. And sooner or later, someone's got to call out Bill Shorten about the fact that he's making all these problems. You know, he last Thursday night, he said he wanted to give small business a 5% tax cut, right? Mm. And on Friday, his finance minister is saying, well, we might not want to do that for the next election. But the concern was that if you can't just give a company tax cut to small business because, as you know, two-thirds of small businesses are sole traders or partners. So they weren't going to get anything under the Shorten plan. Under ours, they're getting something, and they're getting a 5% tax discount. They're also getting accelerated depreciation. So there are packages around. But, mate, we're giving it our very best shot, and we're very confident that we'll get things through.
You wouldn't expect, given what happened in the polls today and the acceptance of the budget by just about everyone bar the Labor Party and the crossbenchers in the Senate, that there would be a leadership challenge. And I note that Simon Benson, writing in the Telegraph on Friday, enunciated what most people think, that there was to be, you know, not a challenge, but if the Prime Minister were to decide that he had enough and wanted to ride bikes for the rest of his life and work harder for rural fire services, that the person that would be front-running now would be Morrison in front of Turnbull. Now, that may result in Malcolm having a deprivation problem because he's gone on TV yesterday and ripped into Lee Sales and Emma Alberici about, quote, their aggressive approach to political interviews. Now, I would have thought he was going to pick on someone about being aggressive. He may have picked on someone else other than Lee Sales and Emma Alberici. You were the subject of an interview on the night you handed down the budget by Lee Sales. Did you feel like you'd been savaged?
Did I think, well, you know, I was getting my point across. I mean, it was, I didn't feel as though it was particularly any.
You weren't
going to
crumble, were you?
No, you weren't going to pull
a Kleenex and say, Lee, can you please leave me alone? I'm in the fetal position.
No, I have a great deal of respect for Lee Sales. I think she is she's a formidable interviewer, and you know, and I don't mind a difficult interview because I'm always trying to argue the policies and they'll overcome some of the various comments.
Well, see, I'm viewed as a right-wing commentator, yet the best two blues I've had on air with federal parliamentarians, one of them was with Alexander Downer, I think called me a pig.
Wow.
And that was over the fact that he'd gone on a holiday to, or didn't go on a holiday to Bali, knowing that pedophiles were working inside a hotel, and we had a blue about that. And the other one was a Liberal politician, the former Attorney General Greg Smith, who threatened to sue me and do all sorts of strange things to me. So I'm privy to how people perceive you and, you know, when you're doing your job and you're asking difficult questions, because I had the luxury of seeing her interview you, then interview Bill Shorten. And if she was tough on you, she was tougher on him, I thought.
Right.
I mean, she demanded answers from both of you.
And whoever's conducting the interview should demand answers. I mean, I'm happy to stand by all of my interviews, and people can interpret them whichever they want.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, because I'm about to move into a difficult time. I heard you again this morning on Channel 9 talking about double dipping. Now, I don't necessarily disagree with you that it's double dipping in relation to the paid parental leave. Someone pays you an amount of money in private enterprise or the government, and then you have another crack with another government scheme at $11,500 or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Now, that brings me to this question. When you're discussing this new system that was brought in at the budget, how you would prevent double dipping, and you agree it's double dipping, not a fraud because it's not illegal, but it is double dipping, legal double dipping. What did Matthias Cormann and Josh Frydenberg say at the cabinet table when this was being discussed, you know, about the fact that they had double dipped? Because what happened, you were made to look silly, Scott Morrison was made to look sillier. I would have thought both those blokes would have said, when this was being discussed by Cabinet about we're going to do this, we're going to do that, they would have said, oh, listen, just on this declaration, my wife who's a lawyer, and my wife who's a lawyer, did exactly the same thing, and we double-dipped legally because we're entitled to do it. I mean, I thought that would have been better you blokes armed with that knowledge. You may have gone in a different direction with the general public had you known that, because it was rather embarrassing 3 days later for them to say, whoops, guess what, we double-dipped. Did you know that they double-dipped?
Well, look, I can't recall, because when you go through...
Mm.
And I can't.
But it would stand out in your mind. Matthias Cormann, Josh Frydenberg, put their hand up and say, Joe, Prime Minister, we did this.
Ray, what happens is when ministers come forward with new policy proposals where they're going to spend more money, we ask the ministers to come forward in their portfolio with offsetting savings where they think they can save some money. Now, in this case, when we're about to spend an extra $3.5 billion on childcare, which parents want, 165,000 parents want to work more or to participate in work, and they can't get affordable and accessible childcare, we responded to that by saying, okay, we're going to focus on helping parents with their children up to the age of six, rather than the first 6 months where our old paid parental leave scheme was. There's got to be offsets. And in this situation, we're saying, okay, if you're collecting paid parental leave from your employer, be it the government or the private sector, and it's more than what the government is offering, then you should take that and not take what the government is offering. But if the government scheme is paying more than what your employer will do, and a lot of small businesses, Ray, don't have the capacity to pay parental leave. I mean, you know, my family's own small business had never had the capacity to pay parental leave payments. Mm. So the government scheme is there, $11,500 for 18 weeks, which is fair enough, but you can't do both. And I think Scott was right, and we were right, that it is important that we make that
I'm going to have to play the Lee sales card here. You didn't answer the question. Do you think it was a bit ridiculous that Matthias Cormann and Josh Frydenberg didn't put their hand up at Cabinet and say, gentlemen, we declare an interest, we've claimed this, and then maybe you would have said to Laurie Oakes, no, it's not a fraud, it's not a fraud, it's legal.
Well, Ray, I can go over all the interviews I've done, but the real result of what we've done is we're trying to make savings to pay for
you
this.
You still haven't answered the question.
I know, because you're asking me to pass comment on comments.
I'm asking you whether it would have been better for Matthias Cormann and Josh Frydenberg, with the benefit of hindsight, for you and Morrison, so you didn't look like to have said, we're part of this rot. We're part of the double dipping.
I think, on the one hand, there's an expectation that self-interest will prevail with politicians, but when they're arguing against self-interest, as might be suggested by what you're putting, then we've got to do whatever's right.
You missed the point. It would have been better for them to... I don't think it would have been deceptive. I think they should have been honest enough to say to you, hey, boys, it might be a little embarrassing 2 days after the budget's handed out when everyone finds out that we doubled it. And I'm sure there are other politicians...
Well, they may not have... I mean, their wives might have done it and they didn't know. I don't know the situation.
Now, listen, Joe, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I tell you,
my wife doesn't tell me about...
Well, Joe, I don't have one to tell me anything, but let me say this to you. That in relation...
Sure, there's a lot of women out there.
It's not the continuous call team, with all due respect, Treasure. I'm pretty sure at some stage when this was all discussed, even allowing for the independence of their beautiful and wonderful wives and young mothers, they would have said, Matthias, Josh, we did this. I'm sure...
But if they passed over, if they said, no, we can't do this because we received it, that'd be worse. In my view.
Oh, of course it would be. I'm thinking about the embarrassment for you and
okay,
Scott. Should have told you anyway. I don't want to be criticised by the communication minister because he can ring ACMA and dob me in and I'll get into trouble for being too aggressive or something. So we'll leave it at that. There's a story in the Courier-Mail today about a group of Liberal National Party MPs who are prepared to stand up to you over the childcare policy because they see it as unfair to stay-at-home mums. Have you heard about the dissent within the party out of Queensland or not?
Well, obviously, people do raise the issue about stay-at-home.
I'll take that as a yes.
Ray, of course I listen to my colleagues, and some have raised the issue. As we identified in the intergenerational report, which was released earlier this year, female workforce participation in Australia is lower than Canada and New Zealand, and that has an impact on our economy. Most particularly, we want to give mums a choice.
Mm.
We want to give mums a choice. So if they work a day a week or 5 days a week, or as much as they choose to work, we want to be able to facilitate that. Now, the reason why we're putting money into childcare is to help to facilitate that choice for mums and dads, some dads as well. So it's not either or. We actually spend on family payments $38 billion a year. We spend $7 billion a year on childcare. And there is a fairly sizable amount of money that goes to parents that are staying at home, taking care of the young children as well. So there is a balancing act here. We actually need to help to facilitate people who want to work to go into work.
Mm. Now, just on other matters, I notice that Bob Hawke's wife, Blanche Today, has said that he would never have become Prime Minister had the media at the time been as intrusive in the 80s as it is now. Well, I guess the answer to that is, my view is, not just the media. I mean, everyone, as we found out recently, is a photographer.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's got a camera. I mean, back in the 80s, people weren't walking around with an Instamatic in their hip pocket like they have
right now.
So I guess in all forms, we've changed in the last 30 years. And given Mr. Hawke's reputation, which was earned or not earned, I have no idea about his private life, but now that his wife would say that, do you think that's a reasonable assessment, that the focus is on you men and women now far greater than it ever was? And I guess everyone in public eye.
Yeah, I've been in nearly 20 years now,
mm.
19 years, and it's completely changed. It's completely changed in those 19 years. Social media has changed it. And
now you've got to be so careful.
Well, I'm wondering where this is going. If you've got the photo that's been...
No. You know what I use my phone for? Well, I use it to make phone calls and text. That's all I use it for.
Oh, yeah.
My daughter texted me yesterday and said, "Where are you, Dad?" And I said, "Well, I'm playing golf." And I said, "Why?" She said, "I can't find you on Find My Friend." Now, that's an app.
Yeah, she's following you.
Yeah,
she
knows exactly where I am every second of my day. And the quid pro quo, this is my youngest daughter, my near 18-year-old. The quid pro quo is I know where she is.
Yeah.
So she knows where I am, I know where she is.
Now, you know where her phone is. You don't know where she is. She could have left her
phone don't ruin
in a boyfriend's car. And,
don't ruin. Why you ruin? It's all right for you. Wait, your kids get old enough. You'll be able to look at them.
This morning I kissed them goodbye for 5 days and I said, "Look," I said, "I'd love to drop you all off at school, but I've got to go speak to Ray Hadley." So there you go.
Sorry, kids.
They know where I am.
Sorry, kids, exactly, on the radio. Just one final thing. I suspect after the budget was so well received, and it was well received, and congratulations to you, and it was a great budget speech as well, and then you've got the polls. Do you feel a bit like Jonathan Thurston as opposed to Greg Bird today? Poor old Scott. He meant to say Jack Bird. He said Greg Bird. I pointed out he's got an 8-week suspension, drugs charges pending, and I was hoping that the following morning you didn't wake up feeling like him.
Well, you know, Ray, I'm still living in the 70s in one sense. I'm still thinking of, you know, Artie Beetson and Grant Hedger and Billy Mullins and all those guys.
Totally irrelevant to all the younger people that may support
Jonathan Thurston. I think Jonathan Thurston's the finest back I've seen in years. He's you know, playing up at Townsville, and he's a brilliant player. And I understand he's a good guy too. So
lovely fellow.
You know that. It's better to
be Jonathan Thurston than Greg Bird in 2015. I can tell you.
Well, you know, I'm pretty comfortable being Joe Hockey. Except when I speak in the third person, which is
like an episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah, that's right, a Seinfeld episode. You know, Jimmy loves you. I remember.
Jimmy's angry.
Jimmy
doesn't like that.
Jimmy's fond of Elaine.
Jay's not happy. Jay's not happy with the Senate.
Yeah, that's right.
That is right.
That's not bad.
See you later. Thanks for your
time. Thanks, mate.
The Treasurer, Joe Hockey.